We give you thanks. We begin today's message by referring to Paul's prayer in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. He prayed that he may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Every true child of God seeks to know the Lord even better, even deeper, and even in a greater and richer way. And the scriptures do not leave us in the dark. The scriptures reveal to us more and more of who God is. We can learn so much of him, although we might have been walking with him for decades. In our study last week, we saw that our God is omnipotent. He's able to do all things in keeping with his nature and the nature of his holiness. He is the one who made the earth, the skies, the heavens, and all things, the moon and the stars. And not only did he make these things, but through the centuries, he sustains them all by his great and mighty power. Even you and I are sustained, kept by his mighty power. So great is the power of this our God. His power is so great that he raised up Jesus from the dead after 3 days. And one day he will raise up every believer from their grave. Hallelujah. And having caused the dead to rise, he, by the power of his Spirit, will cause believers who are alive and remain to become transformed. And in a moment, in the blink of an eye, they will rise from the earth and shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and round about verse number 17. Because of God's omnipotence, he will do this and much more. In Psalm 62 and 11, there is a scripture. I was going to say an old scripture, but it's a scripture that I came across many, many, many years ago. Part of that scripture says, power belongs to God. I like that. Power belongs to God. One day, he will close the chapters of this present universe and his dealings with civilization as it exists now, and he will commence a new and better system, a new order. We are promised a new earth and a new heaven, completely new, an order where for us there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, death or death. By God's omnipotence, he will bring all these good and great things about. We join with the apostle in agreement when he said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has in store for those who love him. Today, we must look at another aspect of the nature of our God. He is omnipresent. He is not only omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, but he is omnipresent. That is, he is present everywhere at the same time. Psalms 139 and verse number 10 poses the question, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will find me, and your right hand shall hold me. The next verse says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even night shall be light about me. Yea, the psalmist continues, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto him. The darkness of the hour cannot create a barrier between the Almighty and us and you. He is present even in the darkness of every moment. This is the time when the omnipresent God, whom we know and whom we serve, this is a time for him to operate. Darkness or light, he is able to minister to us, and he will keep nothing from us that we should desire or deserve. Nothing separates us from him. He is with us all the time. Yes, all the time. We forget this sometimes, but he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He has promised, and he always keeps his promise. He cannot fail. So, beloved, this omnipotent God is also omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. Is there anything that is hidden from him? No. He knows all things, and he is everywhere present at the same time. He's present with his people. We know this because he promised in his word, and many times we have the privilege of sensing that presence. We know that we are not alone. In Psalms 91 and verse number 15, the Bible speaks to those of us who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's verse 15. It speaks to the fact that God will be with the ones who are in trouble and who are abiding in him and who are benefiting from the shelter of his wings. Beloved, we thank God that we cannot afford or risk, we cannot risk to live this life without God. We need him, for the days are evil, and the enemy goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We thank God our Father for his protection. His protection is guaranteed. He shall give his angels charge over us, and they will deliver us. And we shall call upon him, and he will answer us, and he will be with us in trouble. He says, I will answer him, I will deliver him, and I will honor him. God's special purpose is to honor, to show his kindness and mercy to all who honor him. Yes, he's everywhere, but with a purpose. And that purpose is to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are set toward him. He will honor those who honor him. He will not force himself on anyone, but he will be the gentle person as he is. Yes, he will be your friend if you want to be his friend. Him that cometh to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. All he does is wait for you to come. And when you come, he moves toward you. Another place where God's presence is always spoken about is in the house of God. The scripture says, wheresoever two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. Matthew 18 and verse number 20. This is his promise. This is his promise to the believing, and his promise carries with it the blessing. He's in the midst of them. Why is he in our midst? He's in our midst to bless us. He cannot be in the midst of a hungry and thirsty people without stretching forth his hand to bless them, to touch them, and to give them the bread from heaven. May it be at this point, it will be good for me to point out that although God is everywhere present, he's present in each and every case for a purpose. He's not there hanging around. He's present there for a purpose. He is present with the believers to help them, to bless them, to render service to them, to pick up their faintest cry, and to meet their every need. He's there for the believer all the time. He promised that he would never leave them nor forsake them. He takes care of the believer's needs. He's with the unbeliever too. He's with them for a purpose. And what is that purpose? He's there to save them if they call on him. The unbelieving, the unrepentant, the rebellious, the disobedient cannot expect the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in their hearts and lives at any time while they are living in a state of rebellion against God. Yes, he is with them, very much so with them. But he's there only to show them his mercy, not to condone their acts of rebellion against him. He is near to them. He is ready to listen to them. He is ready to answer them whenever they cry out and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh Lord, forgive me of my sins. He's there for that purpose. And as life would have it, they may be put in a place where they are in need of him. Pressures, the vicissitudes of life may cause their world to be turned upside down. But whenever the world is turned upside down, although they were not walking with him, if they call, he will answer. When they call, he will answer. Right away, right on the spot, a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. He will be to them a very present help in their moment of trouble. But their heart must be broken and contrite. Because God is everywhere present, it follows that none can conceal themselves from his sight. You cannot hide from God. You may try to run from him, but you cannot run faster than he. He is running there with you. You try to hide, but who can hide from him? To attempt to hide is an exercise in futility. He is the omniscient one. And since everyone must give an account of himself to God, there must be some surveillance system to provide a record of our actions and activity. It is the omniscience of the Almighty God to keep such a record. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's everywhere at the same time. Nothing escapes his eyes. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. That is 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. This is not to scare anybody. This is not to terrorize anybody. But this is to serve notice on everybody that the Lord is seeing. And nothing you can do, you can hide from him. Nothing. There's nowhere you can go, but his eyes will find you. And he will know your every move. He is God. Yes, he is God, not only the omnipotent one, but the omnipresent one, present at the same time everywhere. Jonah, in the Old Testament, he thought that he was out of the line of vision of the omnipresent God, turning his back on Nineveh and setting his face towards Tarshish, sneaking down into the cargo area of the boat he chose to use as his escape vehicle and covering the cost of his ticket. He was sure, very sure, he was well covered, and so he lay down in the side of the ship comfortably and fell into a deep sleep, unmindful of all that was going on round about him. He was secure. He was safe. He was hidden and concealed from every eye. But the omnipresent God went down into the sides of the ship with him for the purpose of bringing him up to deck and back on track for the mission that had been entrusted to him. Jonah's story has been told again and again. God used a fish and some daring seamen to throw Jonah overboard to put the attempted runaway back on the right track. God used those seamen to do that. The depth of the sea, the interior of the whale's or the fish's belly or stomach, and every other obstacle could not keep Jonah out of the divine range of vision, God's vision. His very steps were recorded. Jonah attempted the impossible, trying to hide from the living God, but he failed. Jonah was unwilling, but God made him willing. Hallelujah. He must have had a heart for God. God must have seen the condition of his heart. And God knew that Jonah was the kind of material that could be used to win and influence men and women for God. A whole city turned to God as a result of Jonah's preaching. God worked with Jonah, and God will work with each and every one of us. He's the omnipotent God. He's the omniscient God, knowing everything, and he knows everything about you. God's presence is promised to the humble. in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15, a record says, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Notice, God dwells with the humble, contrite ones. His presence is with them. The proud or the scornful are not candidates for the Lord's presence. His presence is with the humble and the contrite. There's an old song, I wish I could remember all the words. The one that struck me when I first heard this old song was this: "Just as a stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walks with the pure and the holy. Cast out thy pride, and in heartfelt contrition, humble thyself to walk with God." The chorus goes like this: "Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near thee. Humble thyself, and his presence shall cheer thee. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself to walk with God." And I encourage you to note that the presence of the Lord is with those who humble themselves before him. His presence is also with people who do his work. The presence of the Lord is with people who do his work. Moses was encouraged to go forward in the Lord's work. He was encouraged with these words: "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest." My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. These are the words of God to Moses when Moses was challenged to go to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. God said, "Moses, you don't have to worry. Moses, you don't have to be afraid. But my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." What was Moses' answer to this proposition that the Lord put to him? He said, "If your presence go not with us, we will not go up." Moses was saying, it is futile and useless for me to go if your presence is not going with me. And so it is in the work of God, in the ministry, even in the teaching of a Sunday school class. You stand before that class not because you studied a lesson or because you memorized a passage, but when you stand before that class, you are standing trusting in the presence of the Lord with you. Because it is not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. If your presence go not with us, we will not go up hence. God's presence was absolutely necessary. His work is a great work, and the enemy would like to see it come to naught if the presence of God is not with us. we will not be able to do that work to which God has called us. It is His presence that brings us through. Even the great man Moses needed God's presence to do God's work. Moses, he recognized, although this was before his time, that it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us to preach and to teach and to share. And as we minister, as we share, we sense the presence of God with us. And if that presence seems not to be there, we are troubled. But God is good. And He has been faithful through these years in giving us His presence as we have been teaching from time to time. Believers who live in the presence of God, believers will live in the presence of God for eternity. We will enjoy God's presence. Jude, verse number 24, it only has one chapter. Jude says, "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory." Present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Brother, sister, what a day that will be to behold the Lord in all his glory and in all his splendor, and not only for a moment, but for all time. God is a good God, and he would like to show us his presence, and he would like to take us into a place where we will enjoy his presence forever. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." No more sorrows, no more pain, no more tears, no more sighing, no more disappointments. The Lord is bringing us into a good land. Eye hath not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, things which the Lord has prepared for those who love him. I encourage you to keep pressing on the upward way, to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. I encourage you never to give up, never to turn back, never to allow discouragement to get the better of you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You will make it, and you will not be disappointed, because the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do what you have to do for God, and do it with a smile. Do it with joy. Do it with the peace of God in your heart. Do it with a spirit of selflessness. Do it for the glory of God. You wouldn't regret. You would not be put to shame. But the Lord is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. So tonight we have covered the thought of God's omnipresence. Yes, he's present everywhere. We'll talk about omniscience another time. But the Lord is present everywhere. And because of that, it's an asset. Some people say, "Well, I'm sorry, the Lord is present everywhere and he knows everything about me. There's some things I want him to know and some things I don't want." There is nothing that you can hide from God. He knows everything, whether you let him or not. He finds out, he knows. So be open with him. Let your light shine before men. And let your life be, as it were, an open book before God. And he will give you victory and deliverance. And you don't have to hide anything from him. Any wrong or misdeed or sin that you bring to God, he will forgive you when you confess it to him. It says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is forgiveness with God. He forgives all our iniquities and he pardons our transgressions. This is the God that we serve, a forgiving God, a God who gives everybody ample chance so that they would not be caught by surprise. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Repent today and be saved the rest of your life. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. And we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for life, the life that you have given to us, with which we have actually space to repent of our sins and to make things right. Help everyone. Help us not to cross that line where we have no chance, but help us to make that decision for you today and to give our lives to you today and to not put off for tomorrow what we are able to do today for you. Thank you for these moments in your word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen.